It's Homegrown Week. We are celebrating with Live from Studio A sessions all week long. And I'm Christine Dean. This is Live from Studio A. And today's homegrown artist happens to be the musician who started it all back in 1998. She played the first set at the first official Homegrown Music Festival that happened at the North Shore Theater. It is Amy Apps. Welcome, Amy.
Hi.
And you were just in here about 4 years ago, I think, maybe during Homegrown at that time,
yeah.
too. So I know we talked a little bit about it. But so you're playing on Saturday this year at R.T. Quinlan's.
Yep.
And what time is that going to be?
I think 11:15.
Okay. And you have a new album out that has a band on it, and you're going to have a band with you there. Who's playing with you?
Let's see. We've got Kelly Mason on trumpet. We've got George Ellsworth on bass. We've got Matthew Groom on drums and Greg Cougar Conley on guitar.
Nice. And most of those people are actually on the album, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. And it's your first solo album in a long, long time. Yeah. So we'll talk about that and some other stuff. But first, let's just hear a tune. What do you want to start with?
I'll do 50-50.
Which is the title track.
Yeah. So I messed it up.
Thank you.
That is Amy Apps live from Studio A and the title track from her new album, 50-50. And where did that name come from?
Well, it had to do with a surgery I was facing where I was going to go deaf in one ear. It was a 50-50 chance that I would go deaf in one ear. So I had to be okay with either outcome. Mm. But obviously, I did not go deaf.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Well, and there was recently an article in the Duluth News Tribune that your friend Crystal Lawler did an interview with you and kind of talked about some of your medical issues. And we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
That you have a very rare disease. What's it called again?
It's a degenerative cranial nerve disease. Yeah. The most common form is called trigeminal neuralgia.
Mm-hmm. And it's really tough. It's a really tough diagnosis, and there's a lot of pain involved, and it hits you, you know, periodically.
Yeah.
And so that's made it kind of tough for you to, you know, do a music continuously.
Yep.
But so every time I see you playing guitar again, I'm very happy because I'm like, she must be doing okay right now. So
definitely.
So how are things going these days?
I'm definitely in a holding pattern where my flare-ups are kind of contained. But when I don't have a flare-up, I'm very high functioning. So I'm very grateful for that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And last time you were here, you talked about how much more you appreciate music.
Yeah.
Because it's something that, you know, because it wasn't just that issue, but you had issues with your wrists and other things that were going on that made it difficult. So, and I've seen you, so you're doing kind of an acoustic thing here, not just kind of an acoustic thing here today. But people who don't know you well might not realize, like, I think the last time I saw you, you were playing guitar in a rockin' band. I think it was at Femen Fest, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was Glitter Lung. Yeah.
Yeah, you were with a band called Glitter Lung.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then last time you were here, you were in something called Extinct Gingers. That was a while ago.
Yeah, so that project has ended, but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So although you do acoustic stuff and your albums are a little bit, like your first album in particular was your first solo album, very acoustic-y.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily represent your interests or your span of what you do. You know, you like to rock.
It kind of it runs the gamut from the quiet to the loud, which is great.
Yeah, which is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a little bit of both. So tell me about making this album. Did you have the songs kind of simmering for a while because you weren't able to record them? You know?
Yeah, it was definitely, I wrote all the songs beforehand, and it was a project where I kind of wanted to honor the songs. So I saved up my money, and then the project became viable last May, and I recorded it at Sacred Heart with Jake Larson and asked friends to play on it, and everything just came together really, really well, and I'm just so pleased that it happened.
And what does that mean for you that you wanted to honor the songs?
Well, again, the songs, I mean, 10 years on and off, the songs were written for 10 years on and off, and I thought it was a really good group of songs, so they needed to be recorded just as a recording of this piece of time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and 10 years is a long time to be collecting a bunch of stuff. Did you have more material than you needed, or was it you just had this group of songs? And
I think I had a couple more, but these were definitely the ones I wanted to record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that came together as full compositions.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And you did it at Sacred Heart, which is fun. And you said you were telling me that you actually hadn't been able to play them with the band fully until just like to practice for this homegrown performance, that because you live down in the cities, everybody else is up here. Most of the other people are up here.
Yeah. The way we recorded was piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
So we hadn't all played together. And so Saturday was great. We all get together and did it song by song, and it was just like, wow, I'm so happy I chose these people. They're so talented.
Well, really, yeah, when you have Greg Cougar Conley and George Ellsworth in the band, it's probably going to be good.
Yeah, we got trumpet going on, so we've got trumpet on, like, most of the songs. And
I love the trumpet on the album. Tell me about Kelly. Who's Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly Mason. She's a jazz musician that lives in the cities, and she also plays in Glitter Lung. She plays everything, but she was able to just pick up the trumpet and figure out some parts for Saturday. So, it just sounds great. I'm just super excited.
Yeah, well, it must be nice to like be able to bring this to life.
Yeah,
for the first time almost. Yeah. I mean, you can do it solo, but with a band.
Electrified.
Oh, man. Yeah. So cool. When you write things, do you kind of hear them in your head, like with an arrangement? Or is it just, you know, you just kind of write the song the way it is and then...
When I wrote these, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I just invited these people to come in and see what they came up with. And it was like magic. But now when I play the songs, I hear that those parts in my head. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
So did you, you're down in Rochester.
Yeah.
And do you do much music down there? Have you been doing much music lately? Isn't Glitter Lung, are they from Rochester?
They're based in the cities.
Okay.
Yeah. Rochester doesn't have many venues for acoustic performances, original acoustic, I should say. But there are little shows popping up here and there. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to get involved with that and help the community kind of get started with more shows.
Mm-hmm. And are you sticking around down there? I'm suddenly remembering.
Yeah, okay. I'm doing like part-time in Rochester and part-time in the cities for a while. Yeah.
That's nice to be able to do that. And is that for music purposes or just for life purposes?
For life, man. Just for life.
Just life purposes. So are you still playing with Glitter Lung?
Yeah. Yep. We are still going. We are practicing right now. Mm-hmm. The lineup has changed, so... Mm-hmm. We're getting our feet on the ground again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, and so, well, you know what? I'm going to have you play another song, and then we'll talk a little bit more. What do you want to play next?
I'm going to play DM. It's a nice acoustic song that we're not playing at Quinlan's. So
people can enjoy it here.
You would have done.
That's Amy Apst live from Studio A, and another one from her new album, 50-50. Tell me about writing that one, Amy.
Let's see. This one was pretty mellow, and I really have no idea who I wrote it for or what I wrote it for. When I sing it, I kind of have an ambiguous figure in my head, I guess, about it. But mm-hmm. I wish I had a good story.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm just always curious about, you know, where these things come from,
right?
Not being a songwriter myself.
Yeah, sometimes they just come out of the air.
That's what people say. Mm-hmm. And but it's sometimes, like, have you ever done the kind of more disciplined thing of, okay, I'm going to try and write every day, or any of those kind of things?
I usually play like every day, and sometimes those will turn into songs, but I'm really not a specific songwriter. Like, I don't sit down and say, today I'm going to write this song. Mm-hmm. But I do this weird thing. Some people do this, is the pre-writing, where you write a song and then 6 to 8 months later, you're like, oh, that's what that song was about.
Mm-hmm.
It's super weird when that happens. It's cool, mm-hmm. but it's weird.
Are you an avid reader, too?
Yes.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
Yes.
Does that ever kind of, like, spark something, you know, the feelings that are inspired by a book? Does that ever, you know?
I read a lot of fiction, but when mm-hmm. I read nonfiction, sometimes, yes, it will correspond, or I'll be writing, and then the book will kind of line up with what I'm writing, and that's weird. But don't ask me specifically what book.
No, I wouldn't. Well, and I'm just thinking of how, you know, how you get a feeling. And well, and it's interesting that you say nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, what kind of nonfiction, can I ask you that? Like, you know, like it.
Yeah, I'm reading this book by John Fowles right now called Wormholes, and it's basically essays. So it's bits and pieces of nonfiction. It kind of runs from every kind of different subject, and it really opens my mind up to different mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. I guess. Different points that you can start from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can see that. Yeah, those kind of books that really kind of inspire you to think about a
out
particular...
Out of the box.
Yes, exactly. And that can lead to some more creativity, you know, a creative idea or something like that. So you played at the very first Homegrown, and we were talking before the session. I was there, and I have the worst memory in the world. So I vaguely remember that time period, you know, 20 years ago when Starfire started the Homegrown Music Festival, and just the music scene there, and the North Shore was a big part of it. And so for me, it's all kind of a general feeling of that wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more specific? Can you help me out? Do you have more specific memories of that?
Well, I remember the unofficial first one, and I feel like whenever I tell people about that memory, I'm just like, oh, candles. There were candles there. That's a great, great memory. Great mm-hmm. story, Amy. But no, just that I was always first,
mm-hmm.
so I got to stick around and see, like, the louder bands later. And mm-hmm. I think I was younger, and I didn't really know that many people. So everything...
How did you know Starfire?
Through my friend Sam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and actually, he was on the phone with Starfire, and I was playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott's like, who is that? My friend Amy. And so he's like, do you want to come be on the radio? So I drove right over there.
It's a random
radio. Yeah.
Oh, okay, because Starfire had his pirate radio station, Random Radio.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Well,
yeah.
that's a great story.
It's totally random.
So, and that's how you met him for the
mm-hmm.
first time?
Yeah.
And then from there, you ended up playing his birthday party the year before official Homegrown,
mm-hmm.
and then the Homegrown. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just remember. And the first Homegrown was two nights, I think, and I don't remember how many artists, but just happening at the North Shore, and just really representative of what was happening in Duluth at that time. So. Kind of weird to be here 20 years later.
I know.
And
I can't handle it.
Yeah, but and I know you've played on and off through the years both with bands and solo, and you know, so you've done it a lot.
Yeah, but I'm not an every year person. Those people blow my mind.
Yeah. Well, you moved away for a while.
Yeah.
You know, like far away for a while, and so that would have been tough. But yeah. So you I think you're going to wrap up here with a song. So way back 20 years ago, you had a song when you were singing a lot as a singer, solo singer songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
There was a song that you were known for, and so let's talk about it a little bit. I want to know the background of what inspired you to write the song.
Okay, well, back in like 1997, Jewel was on the radio a lot, and she had a video, and the song was just really annoying to me because right in this kind of passive voice about, I'm a girl, and there's a guy, blah, 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 just very passive, and I just drove me crazy. I wanted her to be more forward or, I can't really explain it. I guess that's why I wrote the song, right?
Well, and at that time, there were other female-fronted bands out there, like rock bands like Belly and Throwing Muses and all of these just super cool. Kristen Hirsch and Julianne Hatfield, these like, you know, kind of more forward kind of women. And that seems like that was maybe more your speed at the time.
Yeah, that Liz Phair album really.
Oh, Liz Phair, yeah. Yep, that was a big
really
one.
Great, yeah. Yeah.
So completely different. So you got a completely different vibe from Jewel. You were not, and it didn't do it for you.
No, and I was very angry back then. Very angry young woman.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Let's see if I can pull it off here.
All right. And I was very excited when you were mentioning that you were going to try and do
again,
this.
Again, it's like 24 years old, so.
I know. I haven't heard this song, and I don't even remember.
People. She's such a babe. Her teeth are charmingly crooked, and her eyes are so blue. But when it comes down to me and her, well, I could break her in two. Jewel's ass any day, any week, and I could kick Jewel's ass any day, any week. Oh, 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 yeah. She writes her songs about making breakfast for one. How sad, I'm sorry, Jewel. Your life must suck. She talks about how she used to live in a van. Well, why didn't she roll off the side of a cliff? But I would slap her face if she ever came between me and my man. If I could kick Jewel's ass any day, any week, and I could kick Jewel's ass any day, any week. Oh, 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 yeah. Ooh, 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 you say. She's really talented. She can yodel. Yeah, well, so can a sick llama. Go back to the mountains, Jewel. Freeze your cute little butt off. He says he's a fan. Well, well, well. I pity the fool, I pity the fool who likes Jewel. I could kick Jewel's ass any day, any week. And I could kick Jewel's ass any day, any week. Oh, 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 yeah. And I could kick Katy Perry's ass, teenage dream, more like teenage dystopian nightmare of the future. And I could kick Taylor Swift's ass. She always looks like she's gonna cry, so I could do a roundhouse kick, alright? And I could kick Lord's ass. Wait, I kinda like Lord. I kinda want Lord to be my friend. And I could kick Jewel's ass any day, any week. And I could kick Jewel's ass any day, any week. Oh, 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 yeah.
Little blast from the past there from Amy Apps. Updated.
I did. Yeah. Redux. Tried to throw some new stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah. Update it for the 2020 whatevers we're in right now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. It was such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And again, Amy Apps is going to be playing on Saturday, May 5th at good old R.T. Quinlan's, which was, you know, we had the North Shore and we had the R.T. Quinlan, back in the day.
And then the Starfire Lounge thing in the afternoon.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that's happening. Okay. So Saturday at 4 o'clock. That's at 4 o'clock, right?
Yep.
So at 4 o'clock at the North Shore, there is something. I don't think it's in the actual paper schedule, but Starfire put together a little showcase in honor of the 20th anniversary. Amy's going to be part of that.
And you are too.
And I have an infinitesimal part. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but I'm very excited for that. And then, again, Amy is playing. What time is it again on Saturday?
I think doors open at 4, but I think
your other show. 11.
It's 11:15.
11:15.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. And 4 o'clock is the other one. Okay.
Yeah.
Phew. All right. Well, I'm so happy that you could come in, Amy.
Thank you.
And hopefully you get to enjoy. Are you going to get to enjoy any? I think you said that you're going to be out on the town tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm here till Sunday now, so I'm going to
get
some shows.
Nice. So everybody that wants to say hi to Amy, she's going to be around.
Woo!
That is wonderful. Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Emma Gilhausen. To listen to past sessions and find out more about upcoming sessions, you can go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. Funding for this program provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.